kids. And I remember how it was before that. And what would that have led to 40 years later, outside of God having an impact in my life through His Word? My value system was changed by His marvelous grace. It changed me. And He gave me this wonderful book that the choir sang about, Thy Word. And what it's done for me in my life, I'm so thankful. Save your eternal soul and save your life. This wonderful God. I wouldn't say that everyone in this room has never had a day that they were hungry. It could very well have been. Some of you have had some hard times in life, I'm sure. But when you consider we Americans compared to other places in the world, how prosperous we are, how rich we are, how provided for we are, God has been so good to us. And we ought to be thankful. And we ought to be dependent upon Him. William Jennings Bryan said this, on the 4th of July, we acknowledge our independence. Amen? As a nation. On Thanksgiving Day, we acknowledge our dependence. Amen. Yeah? Where would I be without you, Lord? Right. I am thankful. Thankful for heaven. Thankful for your love and grace. Thankful for my life, my family. Many shared their children, wife, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. How thankful. God's been so good to us. The acknowledgement of dependence necessarily demands a response of thankfulness. It should. It should be automatic. If I'm depending and somebody's providing, I should be thankful. God Almighty has provided everything for me. Every breath that I have was provided for Him. The healing of cancer this year was provided by Him at the response of prayer. We have a prayer answering God. Thankful. How can one knowingly receive all the goodness of God and not be thankful? How does the most benevolent God view those who show a lack of thankfulness for His blessing? Go to Romans 1. Go to Romans 1. And notice a couple of verses there, beginning at verse 21. Romans 1, 21 says, because that when they knew God, that means they were conscious of it, they glorified Him not as God. In other words, they made themselves God. They'd make all the decisions in their life. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They lived for self. Professing themselves to be wise. I can do it on my own. I don't need you, God. See? They became fools. God says they're fools. That's how God looks on an unthankful, ungrateful Christian. You're a fool. Don't you realize what I've done for you? What I do for you? Wise is the man who's dependent upon his God and thankful. A person is a fool who is not thankful for his mother, who birthed him, fed him, bathed him, changed his smelly diapers, clothed him, tended to his hurts, physical and emotional. A person is a fool who's not thankful to his father who provided for him, protected him, instructed him, guided him, disciplined him, strengthened him, body, mind, and soul. A person is a far greater fool who is not thankful to his God, his creator, his provider, his benefactor, his protector, his guide, and the savior of his eternal soul. I trust this morning you're thankful. Oh, dear Jesus, thank you for going down that path, carrying that cross, bleeding, hurting, and continuing up Golgotha's hill. When you could have called 10,000 angels, I know I would have. And he went to the cross and he saw it through. I'm thankful for him. This morning, brother, sister, are you not truly thankful to Almighty God? Then the gist of the message this morning would be, prove it. Demonstrate it. What evidence is there in your life to demonstrate that you are truly thankful to Him? Do you talk with Him? Prayer. Do you tell Him thank you? Do you read His love letter, the Word of God, the Bible that the choir sang about? Do you serve Him? Do you have some type of ministry? Do you do something for God? Do you honor Him with your giving, tithes and offerings? I mean, are you truly thankful? And do you demonstrate it in your life? Not just Thanksgiving Day. With bowed heads and thank you, Lord, for this bountiful table you have spread. Well, that's all good and well and appropriate. He needs to see us acting it out, demonstrating it every day. We're really thankful for Him. So if you never prayed, you never in your Bible, you're not thanking Him. Don't kid yourself. In the Gospel of Luke, we see a story. If you'll turn to Luke 17, it'll be our text this morning. Just several quick points to make. We see in this short portion of Scripture, we'll be looking at 11 to 19 of Luke 17. We see here a very sad picture. Only 1 out of 10 people showed evidence of his appreciation to God. One showed evidence. Again, remember now, the message is prove it. Don't prove it to me. Prove it to God. Is there evidence in your life day by day you're thankful to Him? And again, if you're not praying, you're not in your Bible, don't deceive yourself into thinking you've showed Him thankfulness. He didn't even hear from you. Thank for every given day. Thank for the sunshine. When it's not snowing, I mean raining, sunny. I'm thinking of snow. What a great picture this is. How many want to go skiing? Paul, we've skied together many times. God's provision of snow. Every day's a great day, you see. When it's pouring and it's raining, thank Him. When the lightning is flashing and the thunder, I always love storms. I do. I know some people are fearful of them. And my mother, you say, get all the kids away from the windows and huddle, you know. My father say, come on out on the porch. Let's watch this. Wow, did you see that one? I loved it. Even back then, before I was saved, I acknowledge after being saved that it's His power being demonstrated. It's just a little touch of His power. Boom, boom. Wow. In Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 11. And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? It's one of the saddest questions. Which one are you? Which group are you in? The 1/10 or the 9/10? Now, you know those nine other fellows were thankful. But they didn't prove it. There was no evidence there. No doubt they were overwhelmed with what God had done. Verse 18, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger, except this one guy, this Samaritan, this half-breed, religiously speaking, and he's the one who turned around. Verse 19, he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith. 10 men were healed. 10 men were sick, right? and 10 were healed? What if it was 100 men? What if it was 1,000? What if 1,000,000 lepers were there? Would that have been a problem for Jesus? No. For sake of the story and the happenings, the event, there were 10 lepers. God is all-powerful and has no problem with as many as there are that need to be healed. Of course, we'll make the application to salvation. Any and all human beings who will turn to God and put their faith in Jesus can be healed, can be forgiven of their sins. There's no limitation. It's not limited to, you know, the first 1 out of 10 or 100, 1,000, 1,000,000. No, he can heal them all. He died for all. They had leprosy. It was a disease that ate at the skin and made one an outcast, according to Jewish law, because they were outcasts. They couldn't stand there. They stood afar off from Jesus. They couldn't mix with society. And part of the horrible thing of this disease, also the emotional effect it had, because you were separated, even from your spouse, your own children. If you had leprosy, you had to leave. And live in these communes of lepers. It's been described, I've read this before, but I think it bears repeating. You know why? Because leprosy in the Bible is a picture, an illustration of the ugliness of sin. Then maybe if we get this picture in our mind, how ugly it is, how horrible it is, maybe we'd be less prone to sin. As the devil dangles, you know, allurements in front of us, he entices us. He makes sin look good. Enjoy the pleasures. Go ahead. But we need to see those temptations of the devil, and he will and does put them before us. We need to see him as ugly as leprosy. Here's a definition or description. It was the most dreaded disease known to man. It usually started with a little spot on the face, around the eyes or nose area, and over a period of years went from a tiny white spot the size of a pin to a larger spot the size of a pea or bean. There were three kinds of leprosy, the white, the black, and the red leprosy. It eventually spread over the whole body. By the time it appeared in the skin, it was already into the bones, the joints, and the marrow of the bones. People could live 30, 40, or even 50 years with it, but those years were filled with excruciating pain. It advanced from one stage to another with slow and certain death. The joints, hands, and feet would lose their muscles and their power, and the body collapsed. It was a hideous sight. It was indescribable misery, as it included not only physical pain, but also the emotional pain of separation from family, friends, and society. Barnes says this, a notable Bible scholar, said the victim is thus doomed to see himself die piecemeal, assured that no human power can arrest. You can just go run down and get some vaccine or something. If you got it, that's it. It was your death sentence. And it was a horrible thing. Immediately you were separated from everyone you loved. And then the pain would begin. And it's all you had to look forward to the rest of your life. If we could envision that as sin, sin's not good. Sin has no place in your life and mine. I don't care how good the devil makes it look. It's bad. It has lasting effects on you. Leprosy made a person polluted and unclean. And that's why they were separated from holy things as no other disease did. And they had laws concerning it, the Jewish laws. Thus, it was treated not as a sickness, but as uncleanness associated with sin. Thus, they were instructed to be seen by the priests, not the physicians. The Old Testament gave instructions regarding leprosy. And again, God used leprosy to be a picture, an illustration for us to understand the gravity of sin, the horribleness of sin, and its effects. And if Jesus did any healing, he'd send them to the priest. The priest needed to be there to say, yeah, they're clean. They're healed. We too had a problem like these lepers. It was fatal. eternally fatal. It made us enemies of God. It was our sin. Indeed, wise is the Christian who sees his sin and the temptations thereof as ugly and as scary a proposition as leprosy. God help us to get that in our mind. Though we not think, you know, the world has all these new terms for sin. You know, it's not murder. It's abortion or terminating the pregnancy. It's not lying. It's just a fib. Or it's a white lie. It's all kinds of terms the world uses to polish over. God help us not to adopt those things. To see it differently than God sees it. May we see it like leprosy. It is awful. It is ugly. Young person, it's a sin to lie. Be honest with your parents. One another, be honest with each other. Speak truth. Do that which is right and that which is good. Sin not because it is ugly as leprosy and it has lasting effects on you. And it affects others too. Excuse me. Sin is horrible. 10 men were sick. Number 2, 10 men called on the Lord Jesus. That was a good idea, wasn't it? Calling on the Lord Jesus. You do that by faith. That's why you do that. These 10 men calling to Jesus, they called because they had faith. They believed. He was that guy they're talking about. He's done all kinds of miracles. He can heal. Notice verse 13. It says, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You think that's the way they did it? Are you kidding? If you had leprosy, Jesus, Jesus, 10 of them all hollering, have mercy on us. They got his attention. Because they had a death sentence. And they were in pain. And they couldn't be with their families. But these men had the right idea. They called on Jesus to have mercy on them. They really had no other hope. Leprosy was fatal and there was no cure. And like these men, we needed mercy. We were dead. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says this. And you hath he quickened. That means you hath he given life to. This speaks of eternal life. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. You say we had a death sentence. We had a hell sentence on every of us. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 18, verse 36, that if you don't have life, you're condemned already, and you have eternal life in hell. Condemned already. So you who were dead in trespasses and sins, I like the past tense, who were dead, because the moment you asked Jesus to forgive his sins and save your soul, you became alive. And maybe at that moment, you didn't realize the fullness of that. And as you begin to grow in your Christian walk and learn the Bible more and more, you begin to be enlightened by all that it means to be saved, to be forgiven. We need to be thankful, lest God account us as a fool. The only one who could help us with the Lord was the Lord Jesus. Because it was he who bore the pain and the penalty of our sins. And of course, it was illustrated by leprosy. He died for us. Like these lepers, we need to call on the Lord in order to be saved. Romans 10:13 says this, for whosoever shall call, whosoever. Jesus didn't say to the 10, I know you guys through and through. And now look, there's 8 of you there. If you go to the priest, show yourself to the priest. You'll be healed. Go show yourself to the priest. You other two, I got too much against you. You know, he doesn't pick and choose as the reformists would believe, the predestinators would believe. They got their scriptures mixed up. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved, could be saved, shall be saved. The day you called on Jesus, whether it's in a church setting or anywhere else, the day you admitted and acknowledged your leprosy, your sin had condemned you to hell, you called upon Jesus, forgive me, a sinner, and save me. And he gave you life. and he healed you. And he gave you heaven. And he began to work in your life. He counted you as one of his. You're one of my children. Everything changes. That being said, you must be thankful. Are you proving it? Is it evident? Is it being demonstrated daily? Not Thanksgiving Day only. Not just Sunday. Every day. That relationship that God wants with you and I. Every day. Saying you're thankful. Have you called on him by faith to forgive your sins, save your soul? If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know you can be before you leave today. He'll forgive you, save you from your sins. 10 men were sick. 10 men called on Lord Jesus. 10 men took a step of faith. Look at verse 14. Then when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went. So apparently if they did not move, if there was no step of faith, so to speak, they wouldn't have been healed. The Bible says that as they went, they were cleansed. Faith was in place. These men were told to go show themselves to the priests. In order for them to get back into society, they needed for the priest to pronounce them clean. They took a step of faith to show themselves to the priest, taking Jesus at his word. And as they went, they were healed. You see, taking Jesus at his word. This Bible tells us how to be saved. The truth is in here. It tells about God's great love for sinners. Amen. And it says what you have to do. Because it tells us of what he did for us. We're to call on him by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works. Lest any man should boast. It's a precious gift that God offers us. Jesus bore the penalties of your sins. Your kajillion sins in your lifetime. He bore them all and paid it. Justice is served. And a holy God now looks at you as a child of his. He sees a robe of righteousness given to you by Christ. He does not see the leprosy of sin. Aren't you thankful? Do you live like you're thankful? Do you prove it? Do you demonstrate it? Our healing for salvation was the same. We took a step of faith when we bowed our head and confessed our sinfulness before a holy God with a repentant heart. We too took Jesus at his word and he saved us. Several scriptures behind that, 16:31 of Acts, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Faith, believe. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believing, faith. Ephesians 2:8-9, already quoted, for by grace ye are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works. You can't earn it, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. It's all about him and what he did for us. Either you go through the cross or you go into hell. You, my one, must have faith in what Jesus did for us. And with a repentant heart, having nothing, all our righteousnesses are but filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. The Bible tells us the very best of us is a smelly old rag when it comes to righteousness. But Jesus made us righteous in his sight. Thank God. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's a believing in the heart. This word happens here, not here. This takes it to here. You know, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble, James tells us. The devils believe. They know it to be true. Jesus died on the cross. They have it here. They have that knowledge. They don't have this. 10 men were sick. 10 men called on Jesus. 10 men took a step of faith. But only 1 man turned to give thanks. 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. How many? One. You'd have thought 7 or 8. With a loud voice, glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. He was in his own right somewhat of an outcast before the Jews. He turned back. The other 9 kept going. He turned back. He didn't just turn around. He went back and he fell at Jesus' feet. There was a demonstration of true thankfulness. Now, where'd the other 9 go? Well, I don't know. Maybe they're just so busy. Get back to their lives. I'm sure they're very anxious, you know. Get back to their spouse, children, grandchildren. Get back to society to live their life. Busy. We get busy too, don't we? We get busy in our daily living. Is that an excuse that suffices to not take time to be thankful to God today, tomorrow, by prayer and Bible, communing with our God every day, daily, demonstrating we really are thankful? We acknowledge we took him by faith to be saved. Well, it's with the same faith. Meet with him every day. He's still there. He's still listening. He's still caring. Still loving. Still wants to be our guide, our provider. He's a wonderful God. A merciful and loving God. Each man saw that he was healed at only one turn and went back to Jesus, dropped to his knees, worshipped and gave thanks to him. What happened to the other 9? I guess they were so busy wanting to get back to their lives that they forgot to say thank you and worship the great healer, the healer of their putrid bodies. They forgot what they were, only looked forward to what they'd become. Here's a great reminder for you and I to be thankful enough to express and to demonstrate how thankful we are to worship the great healer of our souls from the putrid condition that they were in, enemies of God. Hellbound. Our sins have been forgiven. The Bible tells us they are cast far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. Isn't that amazing? It's a promise from God. He'll never use it against you again. You may have trouble with your spouse once in a while digging up some skeletons out of the closet. Honey, that was 10 years ago. You know, Jesus never will. And he has perfect remembrance. When he says in Hebrews 8:12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, will I remember no more." And I say he forgot them. He says he's not going to remember them. You know when you try to remember something? Remember the first snow last year? Right off, we start to think. We're trying to remember. God says, "You sinned a lot, son. But I forgive you, and I've cast them so far as the east is from the west, and I promise you, son, I'm not going to dredge them up again. I haven't forgotten one, but I'm not going to on purpose remember them to hold you accountable again. Jesus paid your bill in full." How thankful. We have a home in heaven. We have access to the power of God through the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have answered prayer. We are truly loved by God as a heavenly Father. Shouldn't we of all people be giving praise and adoration and thanksgiving unto God and live like it, demonstrate it, providing evidence in our life, proof that we are thankful and not just Thanksgiving Day? The Apostle Paul was thankful in 1 Timothy 1, beginning of verse 12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious." That's what I was. And he still saved me, and he still loved me, and he still used me. "But I obtained mercy," he said, "because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul said. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life, that I may be an example to other believers. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you detect a little thankfulness in Paul? Would that describe you each day when you consider God? If you start the day with this acknowledgement that I was a leper in picture, I called on him and he didn't overlook me. He saw me and he reached way down to me and he saved me. So I'm going to thank him today. I'm going to thank him tomorrow. You know what? I think I'm going to thank him Tuesday too. And whether the sun is shining or not, I'm going to thank him Wednesday. I'm going to talk with him. I'm going to read what he has to say. I'm going to listen to him. You know the old illustration? If you don't read your Bible, this is how you're walking around when it comes to God. Now, if I have a need, oh, dear God, I have a need. But we're not listening. That doesn't demonstrate thankfulness. He deserves our communion time, our interaction, our praise, our glory. Revelation chapter 5, I'm going to read several verses and see if you don't see a little praise and glory in there. Revelation chapter 5, I'm beginning at verse 9. This is prophetic. This is in heaven. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof," speaking of Jesus. "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." There's no pick and choosing who he would save and who he wouldn't save. "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." There was a little gathering. "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are therein, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." There's a lot of praise going on there. A lot of glory, a lot of thankfulness being demonstrated. Now, I don't know if each day you crank up that much, but shouldn't we? What a great God we have. A loving and merciful Creator who's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows all that I do wrong. He knows all my unthankfulness. And yet he loves me. But he wants to hear from me. In verses 17 through 19 of our text, there were about 90% more cleansed than were actually giving thanks. I wonder if this percentage is true for us who are saved today. I'm talking about all believers across the globe. What percentage of us who are saved truly demonstrate our thankfulness in our daily lives, our behavior, our devotion? For those of us who know Christ as personal Savior, this Thanksgiving season, and indeed each and every day throughout the year, should be one of thanks and praise and worship. We have a great reason to do so. Let's make sure that we are among the 10% who return daily to give Him thanks and praise. Let's bow our heads. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we come to another time of invitation when we are invited to respond to God as a result of what we have heard, what He has said to us individually. truly demonstrating, providing proof, evidence in our lives that we're truly thankful was the gist of the message. And if we are lacking in that area, may God help us to respond today, telling him we're sorry about that. We're going to change. We're going to look forward to our time with him tomorrow. Look forward to our time with him each and every day as we acknowledge, again, that picture of leprosy that we had. Many had it in physical form. It was real. And God puts that in the Word of God. And God used leprosy throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament as a picture of sinfulness, wickedness. We've been cleansed. I am thankful. As the music's playing softly, we encourage you to spend time. You're invited to the altar, place to kneel, sit at the front, or right where you're at. It's fine. But you meet with Jesus. These next several